given much attention to your feet. I have mine. It's a sad thing that we cover them up with socks and shoes and almost never bring them out for show. They're truly interesting feet. Fascinating, awe-inspiring appendages. It may just be my opinion, but I think God really produced an incredible work of art when he came up with the idea of feet and they came walking off his drawing board. Next time you have a chance, take a close look at your feet. Hold your breath if you must, but give them a good looking over. You may be surprised what you'll find. Did you know that each foot has a total of 26 bones? There are 7 ankle bones. Imagine that, 7 ankle bones. There are also 5 bones that make up your instep, which includes your heel bone. That's a lot of bones. These are all held together and enabled to function by a vast array of interesting muscles and ligaments, principal of which is your long plantar ligament. Well, all these bones, ligaments, and muscles, it's no wonder our feet hurt so much after having been walked on all day long. After all, if you were walked on all day long, you'd be hurting too, wouldn't you? Their intricate construction, the nature of how they were put together, is an amazing miracle. To look at the feet and to see how they keep us upright, how they propel us forward through life. They are an amazing example of God's creative brilliance. Feet become tired and achy. They become hot and sweaty. They become dirty and stinky. Even today, with regular baths and socks and shoes to keep out the dirt, our feet become somewhat less than attractive. And so we want to keep them hidden. Can you imagine then what it must have been like way back in Jesus' day? When most people didn't wear any kind of socks or hosiery and frequently went around with bare feet or in sandals. Feet must have really hurt back then. And if we think our feet are ugly and dirty and stinky today, just think of what the feet looked like back then. When you lived in a time when your feet were unprotected from the elements of the world. When you walked the streets, they weren't paved streets, they were dusty streets, they were dirty streets. They were muddy streets in which horses and camels and donkeys went to the bathroom. It was icky, my friends. And so when you would go to a house for dinner, if it was a wealthy homeowner, you would go in and the servant would come up and kneel before you and remove the sandals from your feet, if you were lucky to have sandals, and you would sit and your feet would be washed by this servant. And sometimes, if it was a really wealthy family, perfume would be placed on the feet so that they wouldn't be quite so stinky, quite so icky. And then you would go in to the celebration, to the dinner, and be with the people, other people, who also had had their feet washed by the servant. That's what was so surprising about this event. Here Jesus is the host. Here Jesus is their master. Here Jesus is their teacher. Here Jesus is their Lord. And they have come for the Last Supper. They didn't know it was the last. They have come for the Passover Seder, at which Jesus is the host. And the host doesn't wash the feet of the guests. That's the servant's job. And yet Jesus takes the towel and wraps it and ties it around his waist and then kneels and washes the disciples' feet as a servant would do. Jesus did. Here is their teacher. Here is their Lord. Here is their master. Kneeling before them to wash their stinky, icky, ugly feet. What a humbling experience. What a terrifying, incomprehensible experience. No wonder Peter said, "Hey, no, you're not going to wash mine. No. Well, if I don't wash yours, you can't be a part of me." Then not just my feet. You think my feet are the only stinky part of me?
Oh, Lord.
I'm a fisherman, Jesus. All of me is stinky. All of me is icky. I need to be completely washed. Jesus' words ring to us today. One who has bathed, prepared for life, doesn't really need to wash except for the feet. You've come through today. You've already been washed. You've already been, in our understanding, in the theological understanding of the church, you've already been baptized. You've already received the grace of God and forgiveness. You've been with me, Peter, day after day for 3 years. You don't need me to baptize you. You simply need this gift of service. You simply need a little washing of the feet. You simply need to be prepared to then become a servant. The master says to Peter, "I must wash your feet." The master says to us, "You must wash each other's feet." Jesus said, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord, and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash the feet of one another. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done for you." In other words, as I have served you now, so also you should serve each other. He's getting ready to feed them in the Holy Eucharist. He's getting ready to feed them in what we know as the Lord's Supper. He's getting ready to feed them with His very self, His very presence. He's getting ready to feed them with the manna from heaven. He's getting ready to feed them and transform this Passover Seder into something new. He's getting ready to become their Passover and our Passover lamb. But He begins by saying, "Just as I have served you, now you should serve each other." That's what this means of grace and foot washing is about. It's not about seeing each other's stinky feet and saying, whispering later, "Oh my goodness, that person needed a manicure, pedicure. Oh my goodness, did you see the color of shade she put on those nails? He has a hangnail. He hasn't cleaned under his toenails in weeks. And you don't want to know what I saw under Tom's toenails." It's not what it's about, my brothers and sisters. It's about serving. It's about doing what Jesus did. Serving. Humbly. Taking the role of a servant. Taking our faith in Jesus and placing it into action. And serving another with the grace of Almighty God. And so tonight, we are invited to participate in this experience of foot washing. Now I understand some people are really uncomfortable with this. I'm uncomfortable with it. but it's an opportunity to serve, and probably even more difficult, it's an opportunity to be served. Some of us really enjoy the idea of being a servant. Some of you I know very well have a servant's heart. And I praise God for you who serve as deacons in the life of the church. But my brothers and sisters, some of those who are ready and willing to serve have trouble being served. Have trouble having their feet washed. I want to encourage you tonight to take this opportunity to experience God's love and grace in serving. And then experience God's love and grace in being served. And we'll begin with the second of those. You'll be invited to come to the table of the Lord and receive the bread and the cup by intinction. And then seated, and have your feet, or if you are so uncomfortable that you'll stay away otherwise, you may choose instead your hand to have it washed instead. Have your feet or your hand washed in a symbolic act of submitting to the service of a sister or a brother, of allowing a sister or a brother to serve you in the name of Christ. A simple washing. And then you have the opportunity to get up and go out there and take a sister or a brother and bring them forward and take the bread and break a piece off and give it to them and take the cup and let them dip the bread into the cup and receive the elements of our Lord's body and blood together. And then return the cup to the table and take them to the chair and sit them down. And as Christ did, serve by washing their feet or hand. And then they get to get up. And as a servant, go and bring a sister or a brother to the table and serve them at the table, and then serve them at the basin, and so on. An opportunity to serve and to be served. An opportunity to receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in being served by a brother or a sister, and then an opportunity to serve in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, a brother or a sister. Serving together is what the family of God is about. Yeah. Serving together, the last, the least, and the lost, our sisters and brothers, our friends, our neighbors. Serving people whose names we know and people whose names we do not know. Serving others is what? Being part of the body of Christ is about. So I invite you to come tonight to the table of the Lord, and to the basin of service in the name of the Lord. Come and be served, and then serve as well. Oh, Greg, they're stinky. I'm afraid. Take this opportunity to allow Jesus to relieve the fear. Clear your mind and ready you for service. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he. are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ is died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit, in your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
As our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we, though we are many, are one body, for we all partake the one loaf. The bread which we break, it is indeed a means of sharing in the body. Cup over which we give thanks. It is indeed a means of sharing. May our Lord bless you.